You're listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So, Brandon, for the people who don't know you, tell us who you are and tell the listeners why we're talking.
My name is Brandon Dyson, and I co-founded the website tldrpharmacy.com. And basically what that is the thing I wish existed when I was in pharmacy school and when I was a resident and when I was a new practitioner. It's sort of a culmination of all the things that I wish existed in the pharmacy world in terms of education. So that's been going on for a few years now. And I guess why I'm here is that this is a Business of Pharmacy podcast. And, you know, TLDR Pharmacy is a business. You know, we sell products. We are revenue positive. So I've learned a lot of neat, interesting little things that I, in the interim since we've been going on about 3.5 years now.
Did you start this as a money-making venture, or was it one of these try to help a friend out getting through a test or something? Was it?
I'd say a little of both, honestly. I don't think you could do the kind of stuff that TLDR does without it being somewhat of a passion project.
Sure.
We had our first sale like literally the second day of the website
launched,
which was super cool and quite frankly amazing. But trust me, we were not making money for quite a long while, especially relative to the time that we were putting in. So there's both, right? There's a huge, huge hump while you're developing a readership and kind of figuring out your voice and your style. And
yeah,
but it we did launch it with the idea of maybe we'll make some money. We're going to make some products. And it kind of went from there. Initially, in fact, when we first started meeting, we were going to make mobile apps. We were going to, you know, figure out, oh, we're going to make some apps and that's going to be our neat ticket.
Yeah.
And then at some point we just sort of did a hell of a 180 and did a pivot and decided maybe it's better to find an audience first and also figure out what it is that we want to make, and then go that way.
For the listeners that aren't familiar with some of the current slang and things online, tell them what the TLDR stands for.
So that stands for too long, didn't read. And basically you'll find it, you'll see it around on the internet. It's the summary of the thing. So what TLDR is, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek because we end up writing some pretty long-form posts.
I remember I listened to another podcast. I heard you say that, and I was going to ask that. That's cool. I like that.
That happened almost accidentally. But it's, you know, what we're trying to do is summarize a very dense clinical topic in real words. Like for real people. So that, you know, if you were a patient, I'd like to think you'd be able to understand, you know, most of our posts, and get a general understanding, let alone if you were a pharmacy student or a resident, certainly.
Yeah.
They're written just like I would talk to you.
And no apologies need to be made because it's like Einstein's equation. I mean, that's only a half inch long, but you could fill books on it. So whatever it takes to explain it so that people really understand it.
Yeah, we have a post on just warfarin that's about 9,000 words, or maybe just over 9,000 words. And that's kind of insane if you call yourself too long, didn't read. But that's also shorter than the CHEST guidelines. And we go into quite a lot in that. We go into the genomics. We go into a whole lot of stuff with that post. So
here's a question, Brandon. On that 9,000 word post, do you have a TLDR section?
We do on some of our, you know, we've talked about this, like, at the board meetings, which, so to speak, of, you know, putting a TLDR, like, and some of them do, there's like a little checklist at the bottom or at the top of a post.
Yeah.
Kind of, no, it's weird. It's, you know, you can't teach warfarin to somebody in 500 words.
No.
You just can't. And that's why it doesn't really get taught to you in pharmacy school very well in terms of how to dose, how to make a dose adjustment.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you learn CYP2C9 and you learn 3A4 and VCOR-C1 and you're like, yay, and purple toe. Like, you learn all of these things so you can rattle off the side effect, pregnancy category X. But neat, this person's INR is 5.3. What the hell do I do?
Yeah,
that's the
right
question the physician asks you and you're like, ugh.
Yeah. And you're taking both the, let's say dumbing it down, but also it's not your requirement to cover every single thing about it. I'm sure you're probably covering the, you know, the most important points and so on.
Correct. I think so. I mean, and obviously there's going to be bias with that, right? You're dealing, if I'm writing you a post on Warfarin or whatever it is, you're getting it through my lens, which is my experience with the patients that I've dealt with, the providers I've done. So that's by definition can't be all encompassing.
Right.
But that's okay, right? Like, I can't get you from A to Z, but I can get you from A to K, maybe.
Yeah.
And that's, especially from where I was at in pharmacy school, that's like, I was dying for that. That's all I wanted.
Take us back. You said you were dabbling in the apps, and then what was it that was your first product that you were able to sell in a day?
So we decided at some point in time, like, I'm a what I would call a lifelong student, maybe. So I was looking at, you know, reading a lot on how to do an online, but, you know, just online business in general, like where what are the ways to make money? And it's, and not that that was ever our sole purpose, of course. Like, we want to, this is a thing that we want to exist, TLDR. But I also don't want to spend thousands of dollars of my own money to do a thing that costs me hours and hours. You know, I would love to get some return on my time for that.
Yeah, right. Right.
So I was studying a lot, and at some point in time I came across article. I think it was from, there's a website called fizzle.co. And they are a really awesome resource when you're first starting out for simplifying, like, what's your value proposition? What's in, and I was following them at that time.
So it sounds to me like you kind of had a goal and a dream and a itch to explore the world of online stuff in a business. And that came before you sitting there one day and saying, golly, I got to make pharmacy more simple for people. It sounds like that business itch came first.
I would guess that. Correct. Salmon's the guy that I co-founded TLDR with, and we're both sort of entrepreneurial, sure. I would think. But anyway, I, at some point through something I was reading or watching on Fizzle, it was, here's how I'd start a business if I started from scratch kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was like, you get a blog, you get your followers, you start your mailing list right away. And ideally what you have is you have something to entice them to join your mailing list, a lead generator or whatever, and then something to sell. And if you launch with that, build an audience, iterate, add things as they come up. So we wrote, before the website officially went live, we wrote our little guide called Pharmacy School, The Missing Manual, which is a, you know, it's a PDF ebook.
Yeah.
Of kind of the hidden lessons, so to speak, in pharmacy school, the stuff that you're not taught, like how to give a presentation.
Sure.
So we made that, we launched the site, our opt-in thing, you know, bait for our email list was chapter one of Pharmacy School, The Missing Manual, which I think is the most beneficial chapter, which is the study system that I kind of developed and used in pharmacy school, which...
Plus, you didn't tell anybody, but you only had one chapter. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, no, we did. And this was probably a mistake on our part, but we waited till the entire book was ready,
because
we wanted to be able to sell it.
Right.
So we delayed launch, but much longer than we probably should have, but whatever.
Because that was your product.
That was our only product.
Gotcha.
And we weren't sure if that... We didn't really know what to expect or what to do. So we launched, and, you know, we told everyone about it. We would peripherally get a couple emails, you know, email signups a day.
Yeah.
Somehow, miraculously, like I mentioned, but we sold our first one to a stranger, to someone I did not know, on the second day. And I'm like,
wow,
that's insane.
I love that.
You know, yeah, it was the neatest feel. It was the neatest $17 I've ever made.
That is,
you know?
So cool. That is so cool. Feeling. I've been asking some people what if they remember their first sale, and a lot of people don't seem to, but I know I would with a new venture. It's like, that's cool.
I emailed the guy. He never responded. Actually, I'm like, I love you. I don't know you, but I love you, and I want to be your best friend. And
you didn't send pictures,
yeah,
though.
No, yeah. I may have come on a little too strong.
That's funny. Yeah. That's funny.
Oh, but yeah, it was such a, but to me, I'm like, okay, if you can sell to one person, you can sell to 10. And
yeah.
if you can sell to 10, you can sell to 100. It means it's scalable.
Yeah.
With the right thing. And so we had that. And then eventually we started looking at other things. We're like, well, we both did residency. We could teach people about residencies. We know those are super competitive.
Yeah.
We were both really good at studying and we're always sort of made studying cheat sheets for ourselves.
Okay. Yeah.
And so that's really where we evolved into. That's like our bread and butter right now. And has been is our cheat sheets. And so those, they happen. We had no idea we were going to make cheat sheets. We made one, which it was a thing that I designed as a resident, actually. I made an antibiotic cheat sheet.
Right.
That became like, hey, we're going to give this to you for free when you join our list. And we noticed that we were getting a hell of a lot more signups for our email list with the antibiotic cheat sheet than we were with chapter one of Pharmacy School, The Missing Manual.
Right.
Cool. People seem to like this.
Yeah.
And then we started ranking in Google for we had a post on, you know, learning antibiotics and antibiotic cheat sheet, et cetera.
Yeah.
And like that started ranking in Google and we started getting people in droves and then we're like, oh, we're dumb. Let's make cheat sheets and sell them.
You know,
it kind of just happened.
Wow.
And so
now is a cheat sheet, is that a combination of the knowledge on it, but also it's a beautiful colored thing that people order and you mail it to them, or are they getting a PDF of the setup? How is that delivered?
It's PDF. We have looked at and may eventually do a product. It is beautifully colored. You can print it.
Oh, gotcha.
You know,
with a
laminate
color.
It.
Gotcha.
You can totally do that.
I forgot that can be done.
And it's designed like in such a way that it should fit perfectly on your paper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's the ratios are all there.
Sure.
The only reason we haven't gone to physical product is one, the logistics of mailing it, two, updates.
Yeah.
Things update. We do periodically update them. And one of the benefits when you're buying our cheat sheet is that when we make an updated version, it gets emailed to you automatically or to whatever email you bought, purchased it with. So, you know, $20 for an HIV cheat sheet might sound steep, except that every single, not that we update them every month or anything, but when we do update it, you get the updated version too.
Not only is the information updated, but it's like, it fits. I mean, it's right in the flow of that cheat sheet. Boy, if you can not have that physical thing to send and do a PDF, I mean, that's great for you guys.
I think, so we both have families, you know, and it's just us two, and we have someone that's kind of become our editor for most of the blog working stuff, and she's fantastic. But we're still a three-person company,
yeah.
You know, and I don't. The only way I'd ever get into physical products is if we find a way that it, you know, it's complete. The shipping is completely outsourced.
Right.
I don't have time. Nor desire to be running back and forth the mailboxes all day. Like it's just not what I want to spend my time doing.
Exactly, and if you can. You know, it seems to me, and I'm just from an outsider, it seems like if you can get people sold on the benefits of the PDF where, you know, one, whatever, it's available, let's say at wherever there's a computer for them, it's available and they don't, and their copy can always be physically fresh, not only medically fresh, but, you know, a brand new sheet and if, you know, things like that. So if you can sell that idea, which obviously you do. That's really cool.
Yeah. And that's kind of, like I said, that's not what we started with, but that's where we are.
When you think of growth, do you think of, and I assume you do because most humans, they're always thinking of the next step. Is that different kinds of these sheets or have you like thought of any other thing that would you'd like to dip your feet into?
I mean, both yes and yes.
Yeah, right.
You know, there are definitely more cheat sheets to make. We're working on a pretty extensive one right now for like birth control and hormonals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But eventually, if you're thinking sheerly from a growth standpoint, you're going to cap out on cheat sheets eventually, right?
Sure.
Like there's only but so many cheat sheets you can do. And so, yeah, we've considered and will eventually look at, you know, everything from online courses to CEs, like, to, you know, we've looked at, what does it actually take to become accredited? You know, what if we started doing CEs? We've looked at options like that. You know, those are probably like the biggest areas we've looked at, is kind of, could we do a course? You know, we have another ebook on getting into residency. We could not tackle that. It was such a near and dear subject to us. So we've got a guide on getting into residency as well.
Yeah.
Those are probably the biggest ones.
Oh, that's really cool. Do you have anybody in the industry that is trying to chase you, or are you trying to chase anybody, or have you found your kind of a safe spot?
Even though, you know, every month I feel like there's another pharmacist site or podcast or something, you know, like, I don't think that's a bad thing. I really don't. I love that there's different people doing what they do, and we all sound different. I think I know ID stewardship is making cheat, you know, like, they have study cheat sheets, and but specifically for infectious disease stuff, and their stuff's phenomenal. Like, and I can't touch that. Like, that guy's they're ID specialists. So I work in oncology, so I can't possibly keep up with that level of stuff. And I think it's amazing and great. You know, I wouldn't say it to us. I want to work with as many, like, I think the more online pharmacy people work together, I think we all kind of rise with the tide doing that.
Yeah, kind of like the old theory of why at the mall do they have food courts with all, you know, nine fast food joints joined at the hip.
And I think, like, let's just say someone tried to launch a TLDR copy, like, oh, clinical, you know, I don't think you could copy any currently existing pharmacy site, because so much of it is their personality.
Sure.
MedEd does a lot of clinical stuff. MedEd 101, Eric over there, just like we do. But he's got such a different perspective. He does shorter posts. They're super information. I love his stuff. I love his podcast. You know, like, it's great. Yeah. Like, it's just different. He's not writing 9,000 words on warfarin. He's giving you case studies, you know, which that fits a different need. We don't do as many of those in our posts, you know.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And it sounds like, as you said, you're putting your personal spin on it, how you would describe it and so on. And boy, if I'm trying to understand something, I'm going to try to come at something from, you know, three different angles. One way you could look at that is a lot of these business books that come out, it's like, you know, that these things are sold to the people who have already read 90 out of 100 of them. People kind of like to make sure they're on the right track, and they're not really like open it up and saying, this is something new. And I think just like people like to watch the same genre of movies and of music, you like to see the intricacies of how things, how things different a little bit.
Yeah. I think your audience selects, you know. I think I would guess, and based off my conversations, I think I'm pretty right that the majority of our audience is a residency track student or a recent graduate. You know, not that we don't have, I mean, we have nurses, we have physicians and NPs, and, you know, we obviously have not residency track students and pharmacists that, you know, but my guess, and again, what seems to be backed up based off conversations I've had with my our email list, our audience, sort of confirms that. You can read the same business idea, to kind of go with your example, from five different people, but this one book is the one that resonates with you at that exact time, because they said it in this way. They said it in the way that, and I think maybe the same thing. You can read, you know, 10 different resources on, you know, whatever, hypertension or whatever, you know, and maybe the way this one person said it this one time when you were receptive to that, you know, like, it, that's what hits with you. So
yeah, exactly.
The pie is certainly large enough, you know, it's not a zero sum game. And
it's certainly not. Brandon, when you are lying in bed at night, kind of before you fall asleep, kind of daydreaming, do you say, I can't wait till this thing is 100% of what I do, and I wait to quit all of the pharmacy? Or do you say, I want this to be a side thing because, you know, I either like the practice too much, or I don't just feel like giving all my time and effort to this?
For quite a while, this was the only, especially in the early stages, this was all, like, I couldn't wait. I was actively trying. I was burning out at the hospital that mm-hmm. I was in, and I was actively trying to go down to 32 hours mm-hmm. because I was like, we're making enough. If I had a full TLDR day, you know, every week, we could totally supplement.
Yeah.
And then I transitioned out of that to my current role. I'm now the pharmacy manager of an oncology clinic.
Yeah, I saw that change.
And I love my job right now.
Awesome.
So it's I don't know. TLDR since it started has been like the thing that I want to be my full time eventually, and then maybe practice part time or PRN or something.
Right.
But right now I really, you know, like my job. So I don't feel that strong push to go down to 32 hours or to part time or anything.
Well, it's nice too. It seems that you can, you have to keep the things updated and stuff, but you're kind of at your own pace. It's not like you have shelves to fill up. You've never promised that you're going to have X number and you're only at 0.2X. You know, the X that you're at now is always X, and it might get a bigger or smaller X, but it's your decision of what size you want that, you know, the X to be in. It's not a percentage that you're short of it or anything.
Right. I certainly want TLDR to reach more people, not necessarily just from a financial, I mean, obviously great, buy your stuff, you know, that's awesome.
Yeah, right.
But I want a bigger reach, and I want, you know, I want it to grow. It's like a baby to me. It's a,
yeah,
you know,
right.
So I love the site. It's so much of me is in that site, and so much of Sam and Steph now, you know?
Yeah. It sounds like a ton of your personalities in it, which is really cool.
Yeah, it is. So there's that aspect of it. But yeah, I don't want to, like, you know, I have a family. I don't want to be the kind of dad that's not playing with my son because I'm writing an article, you know? And so that limits things at the moment. I've got a very full-time job. I mean, being in, you know, manager, and especially when you practice as much as I do, it's, you know, that's demanding. I still teach, you know, I teach through Georgetown University an online course, you know, pharmacology. So like I have other things that I don't necessarily want to give up right now either, because I really enjoy them.
Yeah, that makes sense. Something that I'm not suggesting at all, but it just came to mind, where you have a guy like James Patterson. He writes all the mystery novels, lives down in Florida.
Yeah.
And what he's done lately, and I think I guess I have no reason not to believe him, but what he'll do is he has a lot of people that he co-authors with. And when I think of co-author, usually I think of someone writes a book and then James throws his name on it. But what he says he does is he'll make like a, I don't know, like maybe every chapter he'll write out as like maybe one page of course his chapters aren't very long anyway, but let's say he'll make every chapter as like a paragraph, where the actual written chapter is like four paragraphs, and then he'll give that to his co-writer, and he's already got, James already has the whole story written, and this guy knows enough of the style to fill in the blanks. How much is that? Is that something, let's say that someone did say, all right, Brandon, you're only at 0.2X and we need another, you know, five times these. Could you do that? Could you say, all right, I still have my flavor of this by writing 20% of this? Or do you think that your flavor of who you are is like definitely writing all of it, because every sentence even just is feels good from you?
I think no, I'm very happy to share to off. I mean, I think you're seeing that, you know, we, like I've mentioned that we brought Steph on, Steph Kiosky,
right.
And she's basically our editor now. I used to work with her.
Yeah.
She wrote a few posts just because she wanted to, you know, back in the early days of TLDR, and she loved it. And so she kept writing posts, and then she co-wrote Mastering the Match with us, which is our residency guide. And I mean, she's just a perfect fit. Her personality just, it's right there. So like when you find someone like that, you know, like,
yeah,
what do I need to do to keep you doing this stuff for us? Because like it's only, you know, right now I don't want to be the bottleneck for TLDR. And right now I'm, you know, I'd be a bottleneck if I wasn't outsourcing certain things like that. Not that I'm not involved.
But, you know, if someone said, you know, let's say you have a music guy, you know, Elton John and Bernie Taupin or something, and they're a bottleneck for each other. They could put out more songs with other ideas from people, but then it wouldn't have their stamp on it. So bottlenecks are okay sometimes, but you don't want to be one in this case.
Well, I think, I mean, I agree with your point. I don't know that there's that much art in like one of our blog posts, you know, so to speak.
That's right.
It's because it's your factual knowledge. It's just, you know, can you use an analogy? Can you use some humor with it?
Gotcha. And if you needed to, you could throw some of that in, but the rest of it is a lot of writing sentences and moving along.
I think, I mean, and I do, like, I think even, and something Steph does really well with all of the posts that come up on the site, you know, is interjecting that if it's not there, if we take a guest post, we take a lot of guest posts from whoever, right? Students, professors, practitioners, anyone that wants to write on whatever topic, if it's a good fit for our audience.
Yeah.
We edit it, you know, like that's like final version. I mean, we want you to be okay with it. So we're not going to post anything. We're not going to change anything without getting your okay. But at the same time, it's not going to be a dry read. Like if you're not going to insert humor, then I am. let me be absolutely clear about that. Like it's going to fit the context of the site.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not going to be a bullet list of like, we've had people that have submitted stuff like that and it's just like, no.
Yeah.
No, try again.
They somehow missed the boat somehow.
Yeah.
I always like to say that I'm, you know, supporting the guests and things like that, but I'm too slow and out of it to, I think, even get through the first paragraph on one of your guys' things. It sounds like that's some deeper stuff that this old guy here is not going to be able to get.
My mother-in-law has told me that she's learned a lot, and she is not a pharmacist. So I...
Really?
Just to be clear. You know, I'm sure you can keep up, and it's not all clinical. You know, we have non-clinical posts. We have burnout posts. We have career posts. In my day job, I recently hired a part-time pharmacist. So I'm kind of doing a post-mortem as a blog post that's not going to be clinical at all. That's going to be about market saturation. And,
yeah. So, Brandon, you might have mentioned, but I might have missed it. How did you pick up Steph then?
I worked with her, and she wrote some guest posts for us. She just was like, hey, I want to write. She initially wrote about pharmacokinetics, which I know, you know, needed to be on there because students struggle with it, and I had zero desire to write about. So I'm like,
right.
Someone just asked me to write about it. Awesome. Please do. And then,
yeah.
And then she just kind of took off from there. And she's,
that's cool.
Awesome. She's great.
You'd mentioned Google ads. You'd mentioned your blog post. Are you still employing both of those as a funnel to the, cheat sheets, and do you use anything else or thoughts of anything else to you know, funnel things into those purchases?
So as a, I guess, point of clarification, we don't do Google ads. We don't do any ads.
Gotcha.
Our posts have ranked well in Google. So if you...
Gotcha.
And it's not like tricky black hat SEO or anything. I think, you know, the strategy, I guess, for TLDR, if I had to pick, like, here's how a typical transaction might go down. You're confused and you want to know, hey, how do I learn? I need to learn about HIV. I'm not sure about this. So you Google something in Google, like, HIV study tips.
And you're ranking up there on that.
Right.
Then.
You land on what I'd like to consider the most informative blog post that exists. Like, it's an easy to read, you know, that's not coming from, you know, National Health Services, you know, like that's coming.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'd like to think you're coming from like, wow, that's the exact thing I was looking for. Oh,
yeah,
neat.
Right.
They have a cheat sheet, you know, like, or they summarize all of the dosing information. Like, you know, they summarize all of this information plus additional dosing information and some other stuff for this cheat sheet. Neat, there's an email list. Let me sign up for that. And I want to get this antibiotic cheat sheet too. And so you get people on the list, and you know, we treat our email list nicely. Like we try to respect them.
Right.
I'm not blasting you with a bunch of stuff. You know, we give you all discounts on new products.
Yeah.
We periodically do, you know, I mean, so we're doing stuff. We give you incentive, and then you're like, to me, yeah, you come on, you see the antibiotic cheat sheet, which is free or whatever it is, and you're like, holy crap, this is amazing. I can't imagine what this one that they charge $9 for might be, you know, and then you find that we have these other ones, and I believe in our products. I think they're outstanding.
Yeah.
And it sort of, if you've bought one thing from me, you've most likely bought multiple things.
So your blog posts then, they're typically on the same subject as the cheat sheet.
I mean, we have a lot more blog posts than we have cheat sheets, but
gotcha.
Yes, you know, like that's the ideal kind of, you know, I have an HIV cheat sheet. So if you Google some string for HIV and you end up on it, then that's what you end up seeing that there. And it summarizes this 12,000 word post called The Ultimate Guide, you know.
Like when you talked about Coumadin, your 9,000 or 10,000 words was part of your blog post more, and the cheat sheet is more like the equations and things. Do I have that right?
The cheat sheet will go into a lot of other. So I don't have a specific Coumadin cheat sheet. I do have an anticoagulation cheat sheet. And so what does that go into? That'll give you, we go into, let's see, reversal agent. So like anything you might want to know. So how do you reverse Coumadin? How do you reverse rivaroxaban?
I see.
We'll have doses. What do you dose heparin at for VTE? What about rivaroxaban, you know, for VTE? What about for AFib? You know, what about like, so per indications, we'll have the dose there. What about drug interactions? Hmm. You know, things like SSRIs that you might not think about, you know, ginseng, like some of the herbal supplements that also can increase your bleed risk. So we have like kind of clinical pearls like that.
Gotcha. Can these travel with a person through, let's say, you know, first year of pharmacy school for 15 years that they're actually using these sheets then in? And I know you have your disclaimer about, you know, we're just a couple of guys writing these, but they can follow along with these and use them in real life.
That's
great.
I reference my cheat sheets and my blog posts all the time because I know I've looked up whatever it is that I'm looking for and I know exactly where it is on the cheat sheet, you know.
Yeah.
I did it somewhat recently. I'm in oncology, but we deal with anticoag all the time, and I had one of our nurse practitioners needed to know the hold time. You know, they had a patient that was getting edoxaban and they needed to have an elective surgery, and she's like, "Well, what's the hold time?" And I'm like, almost like as she's asking the question, like, I know exactly where you learn this as a resident. You learn to predict what you're about to get asked so that by the time she had finished, like I had the cheat sheet pulled up. I was looking at it and it sounds like I'm just reciting this off the top of my head. So I sound like I'm super smart. I'm not, you know, I just knew where the information was.
Oh, I don't know about that. You sound super smart to me. And the thing is too, is I imagine that when this question's, let's say it's being asked, you can actually visualize that thing kind of where it's on the sheet, right? It's on the bottom right quadrant or something like that.
Facial memory.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was using, that's a thing. That's a well-known, that's how people memorize decks of cards and stuff like that. They memorize like walking through like
the
front.
Yeah.
Doorstep, and they're like, okay, there's this table there, and that's the ace of spades. You know, they go through it like that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I was doing it in pharmacy school, but that's like, I could tell you that, oh, rifapentin was on the upper right hand corner
exactly.
of that note card. And that's, my brain works that way. I didn't realize it, but
yeah, I showed this to my daughter's boyfriend last week because we were sitting around it brought me back to years ago. I read a book by, a memory expert called Harry Lorraine, and he would go to like Johnny Carson and show up, and he would be able to remember all the names of people and so on. But in this book, it talked about a memory thing that I used to do this when I was supposed to be watching the lifeguarding the pool at the country club. And I was watching, but I also, you know, I mean, so I didn't fall asleep. I'd have things in my head, but he would have every number 1 through 0, basically 10 digits had a certain consonant sound to them. And then he would take the first letter. So let's say you're in spades. So the ace of spades, it would start with an S for a spade, and then the 1 would be a T sound. So that's a picture of a suit, like a swimsuit. And then the 2 of spades, the S would be for spade, and the N is the 2 is an N, so that's sun. And then 3 is sum, and then 4 is sewer, and 5 is sail, and 6 is sash, and 7 is sock. It would go up with all these things. And so just last week I was doing that, where I would take a deck of cards. I gave half to my my daughter's boyfriend, and then I'd look at my cards, and then I would picture the word in my head, and then have a picture of it doing something, just like you were saying, Brandon, like have a picture of it getting rained on or something like that. And then if I did and then I could tell him, after I put my deck down, I could tell him what's in his deck. But then if you did that like 10 minutes later, instead of picturing them be rained on, you would picture them, you know, being on fire or something like that. So anyways, it's supposed to be a cool trick. Probably at the end of mine, he was out there talking to my daughter. So I don't know, your dad must be drunk in there. He's mentioning different words that seem to make no sense just by himself. So
he's talking about suits on fire.
I got a little mileage out of it. Brandon, if you were not a pharmacist right now, if someone took your degree away and they took away your TLDR ability to mention drugs and so on, what do you think you would do right now? Would you strike up TLDR in a different field, or what do you think you would do if you couldn't touch pharmacy anymore?
Boy, that'd be so sad. But no, I think... Yeah, I think I'd have to, like, knowing what I know, like I came from, you know, your typical, you know, I worked in some form of retail basically my entire life. You know, I worked in, my uncle had a paint store. I worked in paint store, sold paint throughout college and stuff like that. I, you know, ended up working at a Walgreens. I've worked at a Wawa, which is like a gas station food mart kind of situation. Like, yeah. So I've done stuff like that. None of that really appeals to, you know, it's yeah. So like knowing what I know now and learning, like I've learned quite a bit with TLDR on how to validate a product, how to reach an audience, even if it's not pharmacy.
Yeah. Call to action and all that stuff. And...
Right. I've extensively studied, you know, copywriting and try to improve as a, like I've dropped several thousand, even just, I mean, I drop, you know, I'm, like I said, I'm a student, so I'm always reinvesting and getting better at that.
And for the listeners, when you talk about copywriting, you're talking about not trademark copywriting, but copywriting for the website to make something look more appealing and things like that, right?
Correct. And it serves two focuses for me. So it's sales copy is, you know, what we'd call it in the biz, mm-hmm. so to speak. And it's, you know, obviously sales copy is great because if I get better at it, I should be able to send you an email and persuade you to buy a thing that I'm selling. So there's that aspect of it. But I also think the real root of why I love studying sales copy is that it's just about communicating an idea. It's about putting some idea. And I don't have to be selling you anything or persuading you to do anything.
Right.
It can be I write better blog posts.
Yeah.
Because I've learned how to communicate more effectively with the written word.
Yeah.
You know, and I was on Ashley Clevens' podcast a month or a couple of months ago, and same I kind of realized it as I was saying it, but I'm like, every single time I send an email to work, to the nursing manager, to my staff, to whatever, I'm copywriting, I'm communicating, you know, yeah. I'm using the same tools.
Yeah. And arguably you're selling something. You're trying to persuade exactly. them to see your point of view or whatever, you know?
Exactly.
So it's always a sales, even though there's not, you know, there's not money involved.
A financial transaction. Exactly.
Yeah. Brandon, who do you like right now? Like, what authors are you, business authors, are you interested in seeing their next book come out?
So I love Ryan Holiday. He's not necessarily all business. He does have one, I would call it a business book, called Perennial Seller.
Okay.
Which is phenomenal. But I read everything he writes. He's amazing. And he's got a book coming out. In terms of strict books, let's see.
A lot of times there's no really such thing as a pure author anymore. I guess it's right. kind of a blog / podcast / YouTube / book.
Right. So I like, you know, Ramit Sethi, I like a lot. He does I Will Teach You to Be Rich and Growth Lab. And I've bought several of his. They're expensive courses, but I've benefited quite a lot
cool.
from him. Copy Hackers, Joanna Weeb at Copy Hackers is another phenomenal, again, for writing resources.
Yeah.
They teach you writing, but that they're also, you can't teach some of those aspects for writing for an online business without teaching online business.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I would imagine.
Ramit Sethi, what I love about him, why I'm always excited whenever he's doing something, is he's much more focused on the principles than the tactics.
Gotcha.
The timeless principle. So like here's, so instead of, oh, you need to do Facebook ads right now, or yeah. your business is, you know, and start yeah. a podcast, or, yeah. you know, instead of like this tactic, it's more about a timeless principle. It's about, you know, reach. It's about.
Yeah. You might want customer feedback, which is going to have its different modes through the years.
Exactly. And so I guess I've probably read more of the classics in that sense, like Influence, you know, and
yeah.
reading those have been, you know, or even like How to Win Friends and Influence yeah. People to an
it's
extent, like are probably more along the quote unquote business books that I've read. I did the $100 Startup, and that guy just has a new book that he came out with, but I haven't read it yet. Chris Guillebeau, I think his name is. That was a pretty good one too.
Yeah. I gave my kids, I think the deal still stands. I gave my kids years ago, I gave them a list of seven books, and How to Win Friends with one of them, and just some of the other yeah. other standards. And I paid them, I was going to pay them a pretty decent sum of money if they would read it. But then they had to give me a verbal report of it while we went to lunch together. They'd get a free lunch out of it too. And I thought it was the best idea I ever had with my kids. And I think like two of them took me up on it or something. So it must have been the lunch part they didn't want to do with me or something. But I thought it was a good idea. Yeah.
It's a numbers game, you know. If I send an email out to 1,000 people, like, you know, it's all about open rates. And
yeah.
You
know, yeah. Yeah. What would you tell a student listening right now that is pretty inspired by doing something, well, let's say online-ish like you've done? What advice would you give to someone who's just, well, whatever, it could be someone in high school for that matter?
I guess the biggest lessons I've learned in online business, one, probably number one, is no one cares about you. And what I mean, I don't mean that in like the nihilistic sense, but yeah. what I mean is, you don't care that I wrote 9,000 words about warfarin and made a cheat sheet. You care about what you're going to learn out of that.
Gotcha.
The age old like copywriting analogy people use is, when people are buying a hammer, they're not buying a hammer. They're buying a hole in the wall, or yeah. they're buying a yeah. nail. They're buying a picture that yeah. was, that's going to show their family on their wall. You know,
yeah,
you have
exactly.
to think about,
exactly.
you have to think about that end result.
Yeah.
And no one gives a crap how long it takes you
no.
to write, you know, like no one.
No.
So like, if you're like, hey y'all, smash the subscribe button, like, follow,
yeah.
no one cares about that. Like
no.
write a thing that people want to share.
Yeah. Right.
You know,
right.
and it will sort of take care of itself.
Yeah.
I didn't take out ads in Google. I don't do Facebook ads, but stuff ranks well in Google
yeah.
and stuff gets shared on Facebook because it's a thing that's worth sharing. Not everything, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah, it's worth sharing, right. Right.
So that's probably rule number one. I would say rule number two is to always be honing your craft, whether that be if you're doing a YouTube channel or a podcast or whatever, but stay up with it, you know, like figure out, like I study writing, you know, I want to be a better writer.
Yeah.
Eventually I need to learn how to be a better speaker if I'm going to do online video courses or stuff like, you know, so I would need to, and I'm thinking about stuff like that. Okay.
Yeah.
If we do a video course, what am I looking at? Do I need screen capture software?
Right.
So like think a few moves ahead.
Yeah.
And then maybe number three, I think the most beneficial thing I've ever done with TLDR is getting the email list. I cannot stress that enough. Like I see businesses that are focused on Facebook or focused on social media. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where their audience is built. And I really strongly urge you not to do that because Facebook controls like who's, I follow TLDR on Facebook and not all of TLDR's posts show up in my newsfeed.
For sure.
And that sounds silly, but Facebook tries to set it up so that, Facebook's interests are in the interest of Facebook. They're not in your interest.
Yeah. Facebook for one doesn't care.
Yeah.
They want you to have your nose on Facebook. So if that's, cat videos or whatever, they
right,
don't care.
Exactly.
They're going to keep you on there.
And it's the same with Google or Twitter or Pinterest or whatever. So, but I can send an email. I mean, obviously you have to open the email, but I own my email list,
so
to speak, you know, so while I could send a thing out to 10,000 people on Facebook and Facebook could choose to only show that to 2,000.
Right.
If I send an email to 10,000 people, I'm definitely sending an email to 10,000 people.
Yeah.
That's kind of, I think, the single greatest tool, I think, in our arsenal is that I could send an email right now saying, hey, we have a new cheat sheet. And
right.
I'm very confident that I'd be richer when I got home. Like if I heard it, you know what I mean? Like we typically, when we do these sales, like in less than a minute, we've made a sale sometime, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Well, that, yeah. And in your stuff too, I mean, boy, that's, you got repeat customers and as we were talking about, you have lifelong customers.
And we've built trust, right?
Right.
Like it's people. It's the neatest, like, I'm not saying that from a hubris, like, I can't tell you how much I appreciate my readers and how much I respect them and value them. And it's because I trust them. And I know that they trust me because I send that email and in less than a minute, someone's bought something.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know? Like that doesn't happen without tactics and like, hey, buy now.
Yeah. And I think it's the independent pharmacy approach you're doing because, you know, people come into the store
right.
and you don't tackle them to buy something. You know that they're going to be around and their kids and their grandkids. And it's a trust factor that you build up.
Right.
What's your main feedback loop from customers, Brandon, as far as, hey, why don't you guys put this on there too, or that kind of thing? Is that coming from the emails or is that coming from blog comments or what?
So we don't do comments on the blog. We did initially. The only reason we took them off, one, is that you get a lot of random spam for Russian Viagra or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's just...
Not that there's anything wrong with Russian Viagra.
No, I love it. It's great stuff. Mm-hmm. No, but like... So that was one reason. And two, we weren't ever alerted. Like, I guess we use Squarespace and I guess we could have used Discus or some other program to do the comments. But if you wrote a comment on some blog post... I don't ever find out, you know, I didn't get emailed. I didn't get alerted in any way.
Right.
And so like the whole purpose of having comments is to have a dialogue.
Yeah. Right.
And so you could, so it didn't work. And probably your barrier to emailing me is a little higher than to writing a comment, but that's okay. Because like we get emails all the time. Like, have you thought about writing about this?
Yeah.
Or I think this might be a mistake and we've made corrections. I mean, we get a genuine dialogue with people. I read every single email. I respond to almost all of them if it warrants a response, especially, you know, I never leave anyone hanging.
Yeah.
It's a significant part of my week. So
yeah.
We get a lot now.
I bet it is.
But it's important to me. I love the contact. Like I love the relation. I've developed relationships with people
sure.
like from our list, you know, like it's,
yeah,
It's amazing. It's such a cool, like, I didn't expect that. It was an unexpected side
effect.
Yeah,
that's really cool. That's really cool. In your current life, business-wise, what are your things that you don't like? You know, anything from commute to administration work to dealing with an employee, you know, what part of your week is like a pain in the rear?
Do you mean TLDR wise?
Either one, or TLDR or just your pharmacy career with the, you know, the cancer stuff and then doing the TLDR and so on.
The cancer stuff, I mean, like I said, I love my job. You're very busy. You know, I'm at a very, very busy institution. Sometimes, you know, tensions can flare up.
Sure.
With your team members and that's just, it's never fun to deal with, you know,
right.
But you find a way. That's not great.
Especially when you're insisting they're wrong and they won't believe you.
Right. Like, why are you so stupid and you're disappointing me again? What is it with you and disappointment? You
know? Yeah. It's not you, it's me. I think you're stupid.
Yeah, like you're dumb and you're a bad person. No, I love my team. My team's amazing. You know, it's hard to complain about that.
Yeah, right.
If anything, it's when stuff that's out of your control happens, like, and it needs to happen yesterday. That's the part that I dislike about my job, I guess, is sometimes they're like today, I was 20 minutes. You guys don't know this. Mike has been very gracious, but I was 20 minutes late to this whole thing because I was trying to deal with fires, you know, that.
Yeah, you never know when those are going to come up.
The whole, and it's great. You know, I'm like, everything's resolved. The patients will be taken care of, which is job number one, of course.
Yeah.
But, you know, with TLDR, the only, it's hard to, I don't really dislike much about it. Like, I love the outreach of doing podcasts with stuff like this. Right now, I'm kind of struggling to find the voice that I want in the article that I'm writing, and that can be frustrating because I wanted to post it. You know, my goal was to have this thing published on Monday, and we're now recording this on a Wednesday, and it's still not ready to see the light of day. You know, so like I feel like I'm behind. We try to have a every 2 week posting schedule.
Well, I was going to ask you. So you've given yourself kind of a little deadline.
Yeah, and I feel like I've missed deadline, and I kind of don't like that feeling.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't want to push out a post that's not as helpful. You know, like we try to be funny and we try to, but rule number one at TLDR is that every post is helpful.
Yeah, right.
And so it's not where I want it to be yet. And while that annoys me, like I don't want to sacrifice quality just to get it out.
Yeah.
For a self-imposed deadline. No, it's not like I'm reporting, you know. It's,
yeah.
I think we delayed TLDR by maybe as much as a year, the launch of it. We've been talking about it forever. Like with beer, what are people going to say? Oh, right. We don't have a product. We don't have it. Like we kept XYZing everything.
Right.
On what needed to happen. And we should have just launched the damn thing and it, you know, would have sorted itself out a long time.
But yeah.
At the same time right now. Yeah. I'm not worried about me being a perfectionist. I'm very happy to say I'm at this point, like you said, I know where it's at. I'm happy to say something's good enough. I don't think it's good enough yet. And
right.
And when it's at that point, that's frustrating sometimes.
That's where that frustration comes in because you know the difference.
And it's like, you know, I don't write every post anymore like I did in the early days. You know, I'm not. And so it's like, come on, I should get this. I got this.
you know?
And it's like, so sometimes that can be frustrating, but that's not a, you know,
that's
most of it's fun. Most of it's fun. It's fun to think about different products to do. It's fun to think about, you know, oh, what are we going to do now? What's next? What, you know, or whatever. It's a great time.
In the book, How Not to Give a F, you know, followed by the other words, you know, he talks about that life is, The joy of life is having problems and solving them. But the key is to make your problems less like smaller and smaller problems. Like my problem, I want it to be like, does this watermelon feel more hollow than this one does or something like that? I want that to be my big problem in life.
Right.
So Brandon, what would you do right now? What would you do right now, non-business related, if someone forced you into a year sabbatical and you couldn't do anything pharmacy related or let's say even business related, what would you do for a year?
I'm a huge nerd, and this I love reading nonfiction. I'm just a big nerd like that. I have small children still, so like as much as I would like to go on a road trip with my wife and travel, yeah. And do it's just not real. It's not, if it happened right now, I'm assuming current life,
yeah,
you know, it's not a realistic possibility for us to travel extensively, yeah. Like and finally go to Europe like we keep yeah, right. saying we're gonna do. So if I had a full year, I mean, there would be some travel, mostly, you know, U.S. travel probably.
Yeah, right.
But I'd catch up on reading. I feel like between, you know, mm-hmm. the small children and like I said, it's really important to me to be active with, yeah. you know, to play with my kids every day. I put them to bed, you know.
Yeah, right.
I'd catch up on reading. That's such a lame sounding thing, but I would love it.
Reading nonfiction.
Yeah, I've got the whole stack of things in my queue, you know, and I try to, there's this really cool, idea that I stumbled upon once of, you know, trying to read 25 pages a day of nonfiction. It's like, if you can just get 25 pages a day, like you'll be leaps and, you know, and that's a great example of not letting the perfect become the enemy of the good. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like doing a 10-minute workout. You know, it's the 10-minute workout you did is better than the 30-minute workout you didn't do because you didn't have time for it.
Yeah, right.
You know, so I think I would do stuff like that. I've got a lot of house projects that keep sitting. I'd learn something. I'd probably learn a new skill. I'd want to get into woodworking or something. You know, I would find something to do.
One of my best things I ever did was years ago at our first house, I did my best at redoing the basement, you know, putting the ceiling mm-hmm. on and getting some old carpet and stuff like that. And that was one of the most satisfying things I've ever did. And I told my friend that, and he said, well, Mike, the reason why it's so satisfying to you is because when you go into work every day, you know, you go in, you do this thing, you help people, you know, that's satisfying. Right. But when you leave it looks the same. And the next day you come in, right. It's like, did that day even happen? You know, and that, in the woodworking and stuff, I think there's a special sauce in there for maybe pharmacists that see the same thing every day, but it maybe shows like a little, you know, a little progression, a progression in life that you can just kind of put your hands on and realize that life is moving forward still, even though sometimes it seems like Groundhog Day, you know, we're at the shop and stuff.
That's a great analogy, a great metaphor. I love that expression. And I haven't thought about it or been told about it in that way of how your job, especially as a pharmacist, is kind of, you know, it is the same thing, and it looks kind of exactly the same, even though every day is different. You know, it's a different emergency. It's a different.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's a great way of putting that. I like that. I'm going to steal that.
Don't tell anybody. I hope yeah, no one hears this, because right? That's like the last project I did, and that was like 25 years ago. But I just haven't found a psychological need to do one again.
Yeah, I'm the king at like starting it, and then like the excitement's worn off. Yeah. And so like,
yeah,
I've still got like, oh, I've got to finish painting the trim in that room, you know, and that's been about 2 years.
That's the worst. That's the worst. Don't even give yourself a mental break and don't even start them.
Well, that's kind of like where I'm like, I'm almost like, you know what? I've got a little bit of extra money with side hustles. Like I'm just going to pay a painter to come out and finish all of that. I get no joy from painting. I painted my entire house when we bought it. So like may I live 100 years and never paint another ceiling is like my philosophy.
I used to use this question for myself, like in my pharmacy business, if someone gave me $10 million, would I like that? And I'm like, or let's say $100 million. Okay. I'd have to buy these pharmacies. I'd end up probably being on the, you know, 30th floor of the Ellis Tower in Chicago. You know, I'd have to do that. And it's like, well, I may or may not like that, but sometimes you don't want to not do anything. And so there's probably 10 things like around the house here. It's like, I kind of enjoy getting on the riding lawnmower and riding around. It's got like a nice vibration, and you can pretend like you can't hear anybody, you know, and it's like,
that was my dad's move my entire childhood. I grew up on a farm too. So, I mean, it was like it's the only hours of quiet time. He loved it.
I told my dad used to come home like on Sundays and he'd have his box of crap of papers all over the place, and he'd kind of put his head in his hands like he was thinking, and then he'd have like golf on or something. And I remember asking my dad, I said, "Dad, if I ever take over the business, is my life going to be so like crazy like that, that I have to sit here and do this?" And I told my dad's friend that one time, and he was laughing so hard saying that I got suckered by my dad thinking that that was reality. You know, dad actually had the golf on, you know, had his favorite beer and a pipe, and he just spreads all these papers out. And if I would have looked at them, I would have probably seen like they were from like 11 years old or something, you know.
You see, but you haven't seen, you know.
Yeah, for real. Brilliant. For real. Well, Brandon, really a pleasure talking to you.
Likewise, I appreciate you having me on the show. And yeah, I enjoyed this conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, and I wish you guys all the best. And it'll be in someday if I think my brain won't explode by reading something a little bit scientific, I'm for sure going to take a look. And at least I'm going to take a look at the funnies that you have in there.
If you just scroll and see the memes, that's all you need. It'll the rest will work itself out.
It'll work itself out. Yeah. All right, Brandon, you take care.
Yeah, you as well. Thanks, Mike.
Talk to you again. Bye-bye.
All right.
You've been listening to the Business of Pharmacy podcast with me, your host, Mike Kelzer. Please subscribe for all future episodes.